From Gimlet, this is Reply All.
I'm PJ Vogt. Lee Odenead died of a heart attack last month. He was 43 years old. Everybody called Lee Q, and everybody had an opinion about him, a strong one. The one thing people could agree on is that Lee reshaped a huge part of the internet. Reply All producer Chloe Persinos has the story.
Stacey Odenead met Q when he was 17. He was this big, burly guy, always laughing. But she says what most people didn't get about Q is that he was a people watcher.
You know, for such a big guy, he was just really, he could melt into the background, you know, and he enjoyed it. He loved being in the background and just watching, you know, how people relate and their little tics and everything. He just enjoyed it. So, you know, he always would tell me, "Days, if you could see what I saw." He always wanted me to see what he saw.
Q was smart and ambitious, but he was trapped. He dropped out of high school and spent a decade working a string of minimum wage jobs. And so he decided that the way out, the secret to the life he wanted, was the internet. In 1999, he buys a porn site. It doesn't work out. So Q tries something else, selling mixtapes online. That's not a hit either. And then he makes a new site, all about hip hop. It has interviews, articles, mixtapes, reviews. Q's dream is that it's going to be the definitive hip-hop website. So he names it World Star Hip-Hop. It launches in 2005, and it doesn't go anywhere either. There's no traffic, no advertisers, no money. And Q is desperate. This is a clip from an interview he did in 2014.
I was broke. I was pawning my son video games to feed the family. This is 2007, and I had World Star 2 years deep, and I'm over there pawning games. I'm crying to myself, trying to find ways to pay rent. Rent's due, because money wasn't coming because people were afraid to invest advertising dollars.
The best he can do is to sell these small banner ads to local underground artists. He's been betting on the internet for years, and he has nothing to show for it. But then, in 2009, everything changes.
We got the first look today at what Apple says is the next big thing.
Smartphones get video, which means that all of a sudden, anyone can record any mundane thing they see.
We're in Hawaii. We just arrived. We're on the Like Highway.
And Q, he's like, oh, that's it. Forget articles, forget reviews. Q wanted people's videos. And they start pouring in. The only rule was that they have to keep your attention. They gotta draw a crowd. Which is how you end up with a video of a guy in a Batman costume breaking up a street fight next to a video of a guy weeping about how good his weed is.
Thank God for my reefer, man. This shit good.
Next to a video of a street brawl where a guy accidentally hits his own girlfriend. Next to a guy proposing to his girlfriend in song.
But I'll be standing right beside you, my sweet baby.
Next to a guy who's just too high at a Popeyes.
We at Popeyes on Broadway, Houston, Texas. That boy tripping, man. Just gotta go on World Star, bro.
As World Star got bigger, so did Q. Here he is on the podcast, Shots Fired.
I love hip-hop because it has its attitude. It's not everything so wonderful. It's like World Star. It's not everything wonderful. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
There's a lot of bad and ugly on World Star. You know, you go down like a little hole. Like you click on one video. Yeah. And then it shows you like, all right, sure, you click on like a music video. All right, then you click on like one of those rappers fighting another dude. Then one of the bitches that was in the back of the fight, she has like this video where she just like, you know, in a bikini. You click on the bikini, there's this whole bikini roll thing. Then two video girls fighting, and it just send you into this endless loop of like, you know,
pleasure.
Yeah, I was about to say hedonism, but okay.
So it's those fight videos that actually got the most attention on WorldStar. Some of them become legends, like the one where a bus driver just uppercuts this woman.
Ooh, hold up. Smell test.
Go ahead, sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
WorldStar is a giant, towering over the competition. I talked to one of Q's competitors, Elliot Wilson. Elliot runs Rap Radar, and he remembers what it felt like to live in Q's shadow.
BET started this award, the Website of the Year Award, and every single year, Q would win. WorldStar would win every year. Like, they literally won, like, 5, 6, 7 years in a row. Like, and I'm like Susan Lucci, and I can't win any year. And even 1 year, I remember Q, 1 year was just like, you guys should win, like, this year. And then he won again. So, you know, hey, he's a winner. He used to win that one every time.
And what would go through your head when they'd announce, like, and the winner is?
I would genuinely be mad. Now, I mean, beat, I would be disappointed, but I would just be mad in general, like that we never won. But, you know, if you judge it purely by numbers, he was out the park with it. So he kind of set the standard of how successful a hip hop website could be.
Huge stars start doing exclusive videos with WorldStar, like DJ Khaled.
Bless up. This is DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled told me that as the site got bigger, advertisers started showing up.
Anybody that had something to promote on the internet had to go through WorldStar. And it doesn't matter if it wasn't music or not. It was like, you, if you were to promote soap, you know, you would go through WorldStar because that's where everybody was going.
So now Q had influence. He could help a rapper blow up by featuring them on WorldStar. Trinidad James.
Gold all in my chain. Gold all in my ring.
Chief Keef.
Smoking on his dope. Also known as Pesh, get it. Yeah, we got them guests.
You could get famous on WorldStar without a record label backing you. You could be super amateurish and just, like, weird. It was fine. You just had to be captivating. One of the best examples is this rapper named Lil B, the bass god.
Shouts out to my girlfriend.
Lil B writes songs like Cash in My Tiny Pants or I'm Miley Cyrus.
I'm Miley Cyrus.
Swag.
I'm Miley Cyrus.
Swag.
I'm Miley Cyrus.
Swag.
He goes on TV to talk about the curse he placed on a basketball player while wearing a lace dress and earrings. Lil B didn't look or act like anyone's idea of a famous rapper, but he told me that Q got it.
You know, he just really supported what I had going. You know, he believed in me. He didn't think I was funny. Nothing was, you know, he took Lil B very seriously.
What do you think was the thing that Q figured out that no one else did?
I think he got it early, just the magnitude of the internet. He knew the power of hip-hop and the internet very early. And that's something that I figured out, too. And I think that's why we, you know, got along and we had a mutual respect for each other.
What was your internet strategy?
My algorithm?
No, I don't need to know your algorithm. I just, like, like at the moment.
You're trying to get million-dollar answers, man.
Like you, Lil B knew how to work the internet. For instance, at one point, all these rappers were using MySpace to promote their songs, but there was a cap on how many songs you could post. So Lil B found a workaround.
I had 155 MySpace pages. I controlled all of them, and I had a minimum of 5 songs each page, but you can put at least 10 songs on there.
And then he starts making a ton of videos, these homemade, funny, janky videos. Q liked them, and WorldStar posted them. How quickly did you notice the effect? Like that day, the next day, in a month? Like how quick did it happen?
Oh, that day. Just once you're on WorldStar, it happens right there. The effect pops right there. You know, it's an instant gratification.
It's been a long time coming.
I was a part of the World Star Hip Hop family, you know, and I take pride in that. You know, I still am, like, you know, it's World Star to the end.
Of course, for every funny, bizarre Lil B video that's on World Star, there's dozens of videos of violence, of people just beating the crap out of each other. One of the most famous videos became known just as Sharkeesha. It's of two 17-year-old girls. They look really young. They're talking quietly for almost a minute, and then Sharkeesha suddenly yells at her. She punches her in the jaw.
Ooh. Sharkeesha.
The girl falls down, and Sharkeesha keeps hitting her, and then kicks her in the face.
Sharkeesha, no! Don't kick her, Sharkeesha! Don't kick her!
Millions of people watch the video.
When Sharkeesha punched that girl in the face, they had a camera ready to go. Before she swung, that camera was in position and set up. They were definitely looking.
This is from a panel discussion back in 2014. These academics and artists debating World Star on HuffPost Live.
And then we're seeing young women, there's a sort of celebration of them hurting each other. So in our communities, we are very disturbed by the ways in which Black men are killing one another, and we should be. But we are sort of snickering off to the side about what seem to be these kind of harmless fights.
Why are you so mad?
I'm mad. You know what? I have the right to be angry because little Black girls are getting punched in the fucking face.
Little Black girls and Black boys, Black people are being hurt. This is not why are you dividing the
street? They call me the devil now.
Who calls you the devil? Yeah. Tell me about some of the shit that you've gotten.
I mean, they say I'm putting Black people back. I'm promoting violence. But these guys have Grand Theft Auto Call of Duty in his deck. Uh-huh. Like 10-year-olds playing Grand Theft Auto, picking up hookers and watching Family Guy and giggity-geek. And they're blaming me for violence and sex and all this. I just laugh at it. If I turn the cameras off, turn the World Star's hip-hop side off, this stuff will still occur.
In other interviews, Q says, listen, human beings have been fighting each other since the beginning of time. World Star didn't invent this. But the same way Instagram taught people to take artful pictures of their brunch, World Star taught them what to do when something violent happens. Take out your phone and yell World Star.
Perfect example. I was at a protest the other day up at Berkeley. You know, this is the one where they set the fires.
This is Davey D. He's a hip-hop journalist and historian.
And one of the neo-Nazi cats gets knocked out. And now you have white kids pull out their video and go World Star when he gets knocked out. Now, we could laugh because I think most of us are like, well, that neo-Nazi needed to get knocked the hell out. But what happens when it's the young man that knocks the girl out on the bus or pulls a skirt up? Or does something demeaning to that, and people pulling out their video talking about World Star, knowing damn well that that's going to get a play on his channel.
I spoke with Jason Parham. He's an editor at The Fader. He actually interviewed Q a couple years ago. I wanted to know what Q would have said his legacy was. And Jason told me that for Q, the most important thing was that he'd never sold out. World Star was his site, his vision.
I know he was always looking to evolve and grow, but also in that way, keep ownership over everything he had, you know. But I think it was a success to him. Whether it succeeded within the eyes of the larger culture, I don't think so.
Oh,
well, like my own personal politics, like I do love the site, and I think he's important, and he's a gatekeeper in that he very much believed in Black youth culture and rap and hip hop and documenting all sides of it. But it's like at some point it became about something bigger that I don't think even he could control. And I remember in our interview when we spoke, he brought up CNN, he brought up MSNBC. He kept saying he wanted to be the news. He wanted to be a part of the global conversation. I mean, it was certainly an ambitious goal. He made, you know, lemonade out of lemons, you know? I mean, he was given very little, but he was able to work with what he had.
I talked to a World Star employee named Jay, who told me that yes, the company will keep going without Q. It'll be run by the same small team that's been there for years. None of them saw Q's death coming. He'd been working on big plans for the future, like a TV show for MTV. It premiered a week and a half after he died. DJ Khaled told me Q had worked really hard on the show and thought it would take World Star to the next level.
I just seen him 2 days before he passed. And when I seen him, he was happy. It's just, it hurts to see the man not be here. I was inspired because I'm like, man, this man not only took over the internet, now he's on TV with it. He just opened another door for the culture. You know what I mean? And I just want to let him know, like, we got you, bro. We love you and we got you.
Reply All producer Chloe Prisinos. After the break, we go down the storm drain. Welcome back to the show. So we are here in the studio with Damiano, who just got back from vacation in California. Damiano, hello.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you.
It hasn't been the same without you.
I wanted to say it's good to be back, but it's sunny.
It's fucked up. I was like welcoming you back with open arms, and you're like, I wish I could say that I enjoy it here, but.
So I don't know what's going on.
Neither do I. Yeah, why are we here?
We are here because I have a small update about the tortoise.
What is the update?
Yeah, how small are we talking?
Oh, don't get too excited. Just a couple of interesting things have happened.
Well, there's like, it's a binary story in my mind. Like, the tortoise is found or not found. It's not like, I don't know, like there are rumors that the tortoise is living a happy life down in Mexico under another
Flash
name.
Flash is a complex character.
El Flasho.
So, okay, wait. So let me give a little bit of context for people. If you haven't heard the story, you don't remember the story. Like 5 months ago, I went to California to visit a family who had posted an ad on Craigslist about their tortoise named Flash, tortoise they'd had for like 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. And the reason they'd post the ad is because Flash had escaped.
Right.
And then in looking for Flash, they'd found a different tortoise that wasn't Flash.
Exactly.
Which led to, like, if it ended up feeling like maybe there was an epidemic of tortoises just fleeing constantly.
Exactly. Like, we were in this weird position of having somebody else's tortoise while we were, like, looking for our tortoise.
It was like an Alanis Morissette song.
Wait, there's an Alanis Morissette song about?
Irony.
No, that's not what irony is.
It's the way she describes irony, like, it's like rain on your wedding day. It's like looking for your tortoise and finding another tortoise. It's like a free ride you just didn't take.
So
it's good advice that you just didn't take.
Right.
Who would have thought?
Anyway, we looked everywhere for Flash. Couldn't find him. And so since I was back in California last week, I paid the family a visit.
Hey!
How you doing, man?
How are you?
Good. It's good to see
there
you.
Were still like, so Benny is, Mike is the dad and Trish is the mom. Benny is their kid. And so we sat down in the kitchen.
So how long, I'm just trying to like back up to when I last saw you. How long ago was that?
It was definitely before he normally starts to hibernate, which is October-ish.
And they told me that since then, the mood in the house has gotten a lot more grim.
It's been raining a lot, like,
and it's been really cold, like unseasonably cold for this area.
Yeah.
And I just imagined him, because when they hibernate, they burrow a little bit. They sort of like burrow in wherever they're sitting, and I just imagined the rain just flooding him out and him drowning.
Benny, their son, had a different idea.
I thought that he went down the drain. But you guys kept saying that he wouldn't fit in the gutter.
Benny kept trying to get Mike to climb down into the storm drain to, like, retrieve the tortoise. But there's these huge raccoons that live down there and, like, pop up from time to time. One of the raccoons came out of the storm drain and killed their chickens.
Oh, my God.
So they were, like, chickenless and tortoiseless, and all of their pets were gone and potentially dead.
The whole thing's like a vicious Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. But the other possibility is that he's like miles and miles away. Like if he's been walking since I was there, he could be like in Virginia or something.
Okay.
So Trisha decides like, okay, at this point we need to come to terms with like the fact that Flash, our lifelong pet, is like most likely gone forever dead. And so they wanted to do something to get some closure, like bury a box in the backyard or something. But then they get a text. And the text says, Someone has found your tortoise.
No.
Get out of here.
Actual tortoise or just another tortoise that looks like Flash?
Someone has found your tortoise and it's your neighbor two doors down.
No.
They were cleaning out their garage. They moved away some boxes and there was Flash.
Shut up. Really?
Sleeping away.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best. I told you that he could have survived anything.
So did you just, had you knocked on the door of that neighbor's house?
Yeah. So when we were searching, they live at like the end of this court, and we were searching, we had talked to her, we had gone through her whole backyard, and we hadn't found him. The thing that I keep thinking about is like, did he like walk for miles and then just like came back?
That does not seem like the Occam's razor solution here.
No, he did not.
And then just go in the garage?
I think you're trying to invent a scenario where there wasn't a tortoise right under your nose.
Well, anyway, so Mike picked up Flash and carried him very carefully back to their house. And now he's hibernating in their garage and I got to go meet him.
You have to be careful picking him up because you don't want to wake him up. Because then he'll pee, and if you startle him, he'll pee, and all his, you know, that's his, what he lives on for the next couple months.
On this shelf, there's like, just like a big cardboard box, and he pulls it out and opens it up, and Flash is inside, just sleeping.
I see the scratch on his shell. Is that it right there?
Yeah, he's
it's like there and there. Oh, yeah.
What were your impressions of him?
He's like a little smaller than I thought he was. He's like very charming, and he's like, do you know when?
Can you describe his charm a little bit for
me,
please?
He's just like, I don't know. He's just like
you're clutching yourself.
He's not an intimidating size. He's like a nice size, and he's got like a nice sheen to his shell. He's got that one toe gone, which is like.
Very cute. A
little bit of character.
Yeah.
His little head is sort of like, his little beak is like kind of popped out of his shell just slightly. And he was like, you know when animals sleep and they're like moving slightly, sort of like because they're dreaming about something? And so his legs are sort of like very slowly swimming back and forth. So that's my update.
I have to say, I'm very happy for the family. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. My one regret with the way this turned out. Mm-hmm. Is that I was so excited to be like, look, I will go into the sewers with a recorder and a BB gun, and I will fight off those raccoons and find that tortoise.
Oh my God.
That to me sounds like a great adventure. But
you should have been a Ninja Turtle.
Turns out it wasn't needed. That's great. Welcome home, Flash.
Welcome home.
Rapayal is hosted by me, PJ Vogt, and Alex Goldman. We are produced by Shruti Pinnamaneni, Fia Benin, Chloe Persinos, and Damiano Marchetti. We're edited by Tim Howard and Jorge Just. Production assistance from Sangeeta Rayasam. We are mixed by Rick Kwan. Special thanks to Jay Sang, Jeff Weiss, Dr. Treva Lindsay, Stephen Kurtz, and John Carmonica. The audio of Q on Podcast came from the Shots Fired podcast and from The Champs, and from Jason Parham's interview with Q a couple years ago. Matt Lieber is Hoodie Weather. You can find more episodes of the show at itunes.com/replyall or wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is replyall.soy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Do you have beets?
If we had beets?
Yeah, beets.
We have beet seeds, sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, house beets?
No, I would say that'd be a tough one to do indoors. That's usually something you'd grow outdoors around March or April.
What about, like, drum and bass? Or trap beets? Do you have some different kinds?
There are, yeah. There's different color, reds and golden. Uh-huh. Yep.
This really isn't as funny as I thought it would be. I'm just gonna go.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we do have the stock.
Sorry for wasting your time, sir.
Sure.